सह नौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
We chant verses 66 to 17, chapter 18.
सर्वधर्मान् परित्यज्य मामेकं शरणं व्रज अहं त्वा सर्वपापेभ्यः मोक्षयिष्यामि मा शुचः सर्वधर्मान् परित्यज्य मामेकं शरणं व्रज अहं त्वा सर्वपापेभ्यः मोक्षयिष्यामि मा शुचः इदं तेनातपस्काय न भक्ताय कदाचन न चाशुश्रूषवे वाच्यं न च मां योऽप्यश्रूयति इदं तेनातपस्काय न भक्ताय कदाचन न चाशुश्रूषवे वाच्यं मां योऽप्यश्रूयति यदिदं परमं गुह्यं भक्तेष्व विधास्यति भक्तिं मयि परां कृत्वा मामे वैष्यत्य संशयः यदिदं परमं गुह्यं मद्भक्तेष्व विधास्यति भक्तिं मयि परां कृत्वा मामे वैष्यत्य संशयः न च तस्मान् मनुष्येषु कश्चिन्मे प्रियकृत्तमः भविता न च मे तस्मात् अन्यप्रियतरो भुवि न च तस्मान् मनुष्येषु कश्चिन्मे प्रियकृत्तमः भविता न च मे तस्मात् अन्यप्रियतरो भुवि अध्येष्यते च य इमम् धर्म्यं संवादभावयोः ज्ञानयज्ञेन तेनाहम् इष्टस्यामिति मे मतिः अध्येष्यते च य इमम् धर्म्यं संवादभावयोः ज्ञानयज्ञेन तेनाहम् इष्टस्यामिति मे मतिः। With verse number 66, technically the Bhagavad Gita has ended. Like we said, technically the Gita starts with the 11th verse of chapter 2 and technically it ends with 66th verse of chapter 18. After that it is just Sri Krishna giving some parting advice. It's conclusion portion, the whole thing from 67 till the end. So in 65 he said, fix the mind on me. Manmana bhava madbhaktaha madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyante pratijane priyosime. Fix the mind on me, be devoted to me, sacrifice to me, bow down to me. Truly I promise you shall come to me alone, you are dear to me. So we said, when your intellect pitches the goal of centralization, the mind surrenders to that goal and your body acts in that direction of centralization, there is a congruence, there is integrity of the complete personality. And such an integrity of the complete personality dissolves the bulk of your desires. You become purified. And when you become purified, you qualify for higher knowledge. And through higher knowledge, you liberate. And that is what is said in verse number 66. Zet sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja aham tva sarva papebhyah moksha ishyami maasuchaha. Relinquish all your dharmas, he says. All your natures, take refuge in me. I will liberate you from all sins, grieve not. What he basically is trying to say here is, we have seen it in many different angles when we did this verse. So you can go back and listen to that particular verse. Now when he says relinquish all dharmas, what he means is, the entire kartritva, the doership, not the dropping of actions, but the doership. Also what you need to understand is, whatever dharma you have been involved in now, up till now, with jnanam you renounce everything and only dedicate yourself for jnanam. Come to that level. After practicing 65, you would have matured to that height where you now drop all dharmas. You have no other obligation now. Everything has been fulfilled. Your mind is now risen for that and you dedicate only for the sake of self-realization. Which is the sannyasi level, right? Where you are only focusing and gaining the knowledge, meditation, etc. And once you come to that level, the last traces of vasanas which are remaining, that also will dissolve and you will reach me, he says. So Gita started by Shri Krishna telling Arjuna, grieve not. And Gita ends by Shri Krishna telling Arjuna, grieve not. Asocha anvasochastvam prajnavadamscha bhashase gatasun agatasun na anusochanti panditaha. Wise people do not grieve for those who have come and those who have gone. You seem to be speaking words of wisdom, yet you are grieving Arjuna. This is what he said in verse number 11, chapter 2. Now again he said, sarva dharma parityajya mamekam sharanam raja ham tva sarva papyebhyah moksha ishyami maasuchaha. Grieve not. You will certainly come to me. What he is trying to say is, our grief in this world is not because of the world, but because of our attachment to the world. Right? A businessman is worried, looking at his sons, whether they will be able to carry forward the business or will it collapse. What is making him worry is by getting attached to his children. Right? So the attachment to children is what is making him worry.
Is it attachment to children or attachment to the business?
Both. Mainly, will my children carry it forward? Do they have the capacity? And he sees them not having the capacity, let's say, he's even more worried. He is attached to the business as well as to his children. He wants to hand over the business to his children too. And he thinks he is suffering because of their lack of capacity. It's not because of their lack of capacity. It is because of your attachment to them. So you are not suffering because of the world, because of your attachment. Why does that attachment come? Because of ignorance of the true nature of the self. So he says, once you gain the knowledge of the true nature of the self, no attachment whatsoever, and once there is zero attachment, no grief, no suffering, nothing. No sorrow, no grief. The grief will be completely ended. Because thereafter only awareness is there. Only when there is no awareness, desire is proper. And all the sins that we commit is because of our lack of awareness. Take the common example we have discussed many times. When you are conscious while eating, it's impossible you will overeat. No one who eats consciously can turn into a glutton. So all our sinful activities are because of lack of awareness. Our desires take over and then we commit sin. Awareness is gone, mind runs on itself. So he says, all your papas will be gone. All your papas will be gone, meaning what is the root cause of all papas? There may be different papas. And according to spirituality, pap also means punya.
Pap also?
Means punya. Why?
Because both have true attachment. Pap and punya are created by us. If you are aware of something, then at that level there is no pap or punya left.
But you are being tied to, you are getting bound by some, it's not without
what
doership.
Does punya do?
It's creating doership.
What does papa and punya do to you?
Creating karma.
It's creating karma.
By creating karma, what does it do?
That's
back in the loop.
You're back in, yeah, back in the loop.
Not back in?
Back in the loop, back in that cycle of like, you know,
that cycle of
doership and samsara and
different. Death.
Mm.
He wants my attention now. Excuse me.
He's not biting us.
No, he's not biting, he's just...
Biting
everyone. No, no. Is that right? He's teasing, no? Okay. So, Pap and Punya both make you go through the cycle of birth and death again and again. Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam, Punarapi Janani, Chatareshaya. So if you keep on collecting punya, that's also going to bring you back. So bring you back means what?
The cycle of life.
Bring you back means what does it technically do? Keeps you away from Atma. Keep you away from your original self. When something keeps you away from your original self, with reference to the self, it is pap. Are you getting it?
Mm-hmm.
So, your original self, you are moving away, na?
The duality. Like again, you are feeding...
Yeah, again you are getting into moving away from the self. So therefore, we have discussed all this in the very beginning of the Gita. When Arjuna asks Krishna, Senayor Vayor Madhye Ratamstapayame Achyuta. Oh Krishna, Achyuta, take my chariot and place it in between both the armies. I would like to see who all have come to fight. He says this in the first chapter. There itself he said, in between both the armies means what? One army is? Pandavas. Good. Other army is? Kauravas. Evil. You have to stand in between good and evil. You can't afford to act on selfish desires. You can't afford to act on unselfish desires. You must learn to act selflessly. Because if you are acting with selfish desires, you are going to collect pap. If you are going to act with unselfish desires, you are going to collect punya. Both this punya and pap are going to make you come back and again. As a result, you are going to be away from Brahman, Atma, which means from the spiritual point of view, punya also is minus. Punya is also minus. Are you getting it? So therefore he says, I will liberate you from all sins. All sins means thereafter you are not doing anything propelled by any desire. You are going to thereafter do what? Just what in the context is to be done, do and get up. No punya, no pap, nothing. So you will become free from all sins. Therefore, grieve not. This is what is verse number 66 is saying. Now in 67 onwards till 73, Sri Krishna speaks of the value of this great knowledge. What is this? What is the value of this knowledge? What does it do to you? Like we have seen before, this knowledge first and foremost gives you clarity to live your life. You forget about self-realization, Brahman, Moksha, Geksha, all that you forget. That is far cry. Right? But first thing it gives you is, it gives you some sort of direction and clarity to live your life. But that is precisely why we say this knowledge has to be gained when you are young. What is the use in getting clarity and direction to live life in the hospital? Isn't it? We need to get it as young as we are. Then that clarity will help us to live our life peacefully and prosperously. So therefore he says, first thing we get is what? Clarity. To live your life. So Gita will never take you away from your life. It will make you live your life completely, totally. Then it will make your body dynamic. Each one of us are nothing but a bundle of energy. Right? And that energy needs to be directed. So with the clarity you are able to direct your energy properly. Otherwise what do you do?
Confused.
No, otherwise what do you do with energy? You dissipate it. Where are you dissipating in? Your sensory channels. Mind channels, likes and dislikes. Right? Therefore, what does Gita do? It makes you direct your energy, and by directing your energy and not dissipating it, two things happen. One is, energy is directed, give you productivity. And energy is not dissipated and directed, conserved, gives you enjoyment. Sustained enjoyment. And your mind is peaceful, calm, serene, right? And with your intellect you develop what is called as objectivity or detachment. All these are benefits of Gita from the relative point of view. And from the absolute point of view, I thought I was going to stamp on it. That's why I was worried. I thought it's my chappal.
Yes, he's after your chappal. He's after your chappal.
No, no. I might have stamped on him. So, what is
my
objectivity it gives you, and from the point of view of evolution towards the moksha, it reduces your vasanas and it increases your independence, mental independence. A human being is grown only to the extent he or she is independent mentally. How do you judge your spiritual evolution? By looking at your level of independence at the mind level. Now we are in the last few verses of the Gita. So we are all Gita students for so many years, somehow we continued. How do you know you benefited or not? How much are you mentally independent? Physically you are dependent on the vehicle, you are dependent on so many things, right? But mentally are you independent? If you have not achieved mental independence, what does it mean? Remember what Swami Chinmayananda says, you have gone through the Gita, but the Gita has not gone through you. So when the Gita goes through you, then you will attain mental independence. That is called moksha. Right? Absolute liberation, meaning whatever happens at the body level, mind level, intellect level, doesn't affect you. Today it affects you. So initially what we said is, as you are digesting the Gita, the affectations will be there. Right? When you continue the beginning. But slowly, slowly what will happen? The affectations reduce. The frequency and the intensity both reduces. The intensity of affectation, the frequency of affectation, both reduces. Right? And what happens is, you become more and more capable of responding to the situation spontaneously. As a result of your inner calmness, you are well prepared to be able to respond in the context spontaneously. But today we are all reacting, 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 constantly reacting. And when you are reacting, you think you are responding, but you are going on sending everything out of that reaction and you mess up the whole thing. So the frequency and intensity of the affectations reduce and your ability to respond increases and you are able to respond spontaneously with calmness. And when you dissolve all the vasanas, finally what happens? You become Brahman. So all these are the value of this sermon. So what you have to do, if you really understand the value of this knowledge given by Shri Krishna, what you have to do?
Drop doership.
No?
Drop the doership.
Drop the doership.
Awareness.
Sorry,
what was the question?
Once you understand the value of the Gita, what Gita can do to you, what you are supposed to do?
Start being aware at every point.
Start being aware.
And be conscious of what you are doing there.
Consciously reduce vasanas.
Keep your Gita book always with you. He is saying that, I am not saying it. I have mentioned this before also, like casually you were saying, no, thanks to coronavirus, today is houseful. Right? Otherwise you are traveling in a business or personal, whatever it is. I have told this, make sure Gita book is part of your what?
Luggage.
Hand luggage. Right? Keep it with you, study every day. Because it is the daily dosage of Gita. Daily dosage of Gita that brings about what?
Mental independence.
All the effects that we talked about. Daily dosage of Gita. It's not the information of Gita. So therefore Sri Krishna is now going to praise those who study Gita, those who teach Gita and all that.
To put it in practice.
Unless you study, how will you put it into practice? Study, not read. Carefully using the word study. Study means you imbibe. Once you imbibe, putting into practice is the effect. You will put it into practice. Right? So, in fact, you can even do this exercise after going through each and every chapter. What are the points I am learning from this chapter? Some points may be repeated again and again. Some new points may come. So keep listing. What are the points? Like, world is incapable of affecting you. It's only your attachment. An attachment is due to the ignorance of the self. And the ignorance of the self can only be cured with knowledge of the self. Like this one point. Right? And next point. Knowledge is never given. It is always taken. That's what we understand when Arjuna surrendered, only Gita was given. Right? And Atma Satyaha, Atma Nityaha, etc. etc. Those points. Right? And then no selfish person can be happy. No unselfish person can be unhappy. So if I am unhappy, what does it mean? It means somewhere down the line my attention is upon myself. So we said learn to be egocentric and not egocentric. If you are egocentric, you will suffer. If you are egocentric, you will not suffer. So like this pointer, you know, you keep on noting down. Then only you will really dwell upon it. Another pointer we have seen in the third chapter is that one who eats without producing is a thief. Right? One who cooks but eats sin, rajasic fellow. First one was tamasic, this is rajasic. Third is one who eats the remnants of sacrifice. So in that context we said tamasic means when your consumption or only consumption, no contribution, or consumption is more than your contribution. Rajasic is when your consumption and contribution cancels off. And sattvic is when your contribution is more than your consumption. And when you go to the highest level of sattva, your life is only contribution. Life is just contribution. There is no need to separately do one pandal and then distribute things. The whole life itself is giving. Whatever you do is giving. Where is the question of separately doing? This is what he's going to say. When you dedicate yourself to the study of the Gita, he's going to explain and say that it covers karma, bhakti, jnana, all three. You don't have to separately go to puja, pilgrimage, do this, worship here, there, mandir. If you go there separately, but don't go, doesn't matter. Why? Because you're living that only. You're eating, breathing, everything is that. There's nothing separate. This is what we mean when we say full-time dedicated research and propagation of knowledge. When you see in the profile when they put it, full-time dedicated research and propagation of knowledge, this is what it means. There's nothing else for which you are now living. Whole thing is called yogic lifestyle. Called yogic lifestyle. So he praises those who get into study and propagation of knowledge. And initially he gives the qualification of the students who this knowledge should be given. Right? So when we read this verse 67, what we need to check, how much am I qualified? Why qualification is necessary?
Because that much you will grasp.
Exactly. It is not because of the guru wanting to test whether you are qualified and give. You can only grasp to the extent you are qualified. If you are not qualified, you will not grasp it. Jesus Christ also says the same thing. He says, don't cast pearls before swine. There's no use. Swine doesn't understand the value of pearls. Don't cast them. So verse 67. Idam tena tapaskaya, idam tena tapaskaya, na bhaktaya kadachana, na bhaktaya kadachana, na cha shushrushave vachyam, na cha shushrushave vachyam, na cha mam yobhyasuyati, na cha mam yobhyasuyati, idam tena tapaskaya, na bhaktaya kadachana, na cha shushrushave vachyam, na cha mam yobhyasuyati. This is not to be spoken by you to one devoid of austerity. Idam te na tapaskaya. Fellow who is not doing tapas. What does it mean? Who is not putting in the concerted effort to gain this knowledge and digest this knowledge and put it into practice. one who does not put in effort, do not give this knowledge at all. Not to be given. If you give, like I said, water sprinkled on the hot plate, it will go completely waste. There has to be a determined, consistent effort. See, you don't need training. Have you ever seen any training program? How to get stressed? How to file for a divorce? There is no need for any training for such things. How to confuse the whole thing? How to find harmony in relationship? How to handle stress? Right? This is how, this is the area where we need training. To destroy ourselves, we don't need training. So, now this spiritual thing is trying to develop the intellect, controlling and directing mind and ego. That requires training. That requires dedication. That requires you to understand the importance of it. Otherwise you are not going to listen also. Otherwise your mind is going to work how I can put this knowledge to use to justify my pursuit of like intellect. Isn't it? Therefore he says, idam te na tapaskaya. One who is devoid of austerity. In fact, one of the qualifications we have mentioned before also was to be able to put up with inconvenience cheerfully. Some inconvenience you got to put up with that cheerfully. Otherwise your focus and attention is external. How can you learn something internal? Impossible. You understand? Therefore he says, one who is devoid of austerity. And then, not devoted, na bhaktaya. One who doesn't have bhakti. One who doesn't have bhakti should not be given this knowledge. And one who does not render service, one who is not an adhikari basically. Service means guru is not in need of your service. But the attitude of service should be there. If you do not have the attitude of service to the person who is benefiting you, how will you be able to do service to the rest of the world? Impossible. So he says, idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na cha shushrushave vachyam. If the adhikaratvam is not there, do not speak this. In fact, first of all, do not speak doesn't mean he's telling us to go and speak to other people. Okay, get out and look for people who are qualified and give. What he is saying is, these are words for us to understand, do we have this? Because what is the explanation we have given for tapas earlier? Tapas is conservation of energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channels and directing the energy conserved towards the higher channel. This is called tapas. Conservation of energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channels. And the energy thus conserved needs to be directed towards the higher channel. So if somebody is not even putting this effort, forget about giving this knowledge to him. Forget about it. So firstly, you need to therefore check whether am I putting those efforts or not. Am I putting in that determined effort? How often do I study in the morning? Forget about early morning. Not even using the word early morning. I'm just using the word study in the morning. I don't know which year we started this class. Must be 7-8 years now. Because it takes that much time.
10
almost.
Almost 10, yeah. 2011.
Okay.
Oh my God.
So, before you realize now 10 years gone. Okay. Now suddenly we are studying all these qualifications as if we are studying for the first time. Studied it before also. Right? He says, this knowledge will only go in if you study and reflect and do sadhana along with it. Don't do sadhana, this won't go in. So it does not render service or speaks ill of me, cavilling. All these are good, you know. Should not go deep into it. Just little bit, you touch and go. Cavilling, poo-pooing it, taking it lightly, not giving its due importance. It won't go in. See, even chappal that you wear, if you don't give respect to that and walk making too much noise, the chappal will not serve you long. Right? How much maryada you give to that, that much it serves you. And when it comes to Gita, how much more we should be really giving maryada. If we really understand that we need all these changes in us, then we will give that maryada. You will not say that that extra half an hour is not extra. I am not able to pull out that half an hour, 45 minutes, 1 hour every day. Means what? Tapas nahi hai. Bhakti nahi hai. See, a fellow was sitting in the train, in the station the train was waiting. And when the train was about to move, he saw a vendor selling water. So he asked him how much, and the train slowly started moving. He's asking how much is it. And the fellow said, 50 rupees or so. He said, can you give it to me for 10 rupees? And that fellow said, you are not thirsty. A fellow said, you are not thirsty. You are thirsty. You are not going to be bargaining for 10 rupees and all. Not thirsty, leave it. So in other words, bhakti means what? Love. When the moth is in love with the flame, it enters the flame. It is ready to sublimate. When there is bhakti, you are ready to sublimate. Right? When you have love, you sublimate. When you have lust, you dominate. Remember this. Even in relationships, when you have lust, you dominate. When you have love, you sublimate. That's the whole thing. That is why Aliya Bhaskar said, there is no one having love, forget about it. Because each one trying to dominate the other. So, there is no such thing as pure love. So similarly, bhakti. When you say bhakti, devotion, means what? You sublimate yourself into it. That seeking, that courting, that asking, that value you should have. Otherwise this knowledge will not enter you. And then he says, one who does not render service. Swami Vivekananda says, the world is not in need of your service, but by doing service you become purified. So one who does not render service means one who does not do the actions in the spirit of service, one who does not purify himself or herself, as a result of that the knowledge will not go in. Don't give this knowledge. That is what it means. See, when you value something the most, what would be the natural outcome of it? What are you ready to give up for it?
Not much. If you want
to preserve,
value the most.
When you value something, you are ready to give up anything for it. Na? People value 10 rupees bat, and then it is auction. Such cricket bat, if you go and buy maybe few thousands, good ones, maybe 40,000-50,000, I don't know how much, I'm just saying. But it goes for a few million dollars. What is that makes you give that $1 million? $1 million means what? $1 million means your efforts.
Your attachment.
To convert your efforts into $1 million, how much efforts you would have done to convert that into $1 million?
Yeah.
you are running a some amount of money monthly, it's your energy, na? See, please understand this. Look at this like this. Some people convert their energies and transforms them into objects. All our energies are in this cup form, in gadget form. Right? This is one way of living. Other way of living is converting all the energy and getting people around you. Right? Other is converting your energy and realizing the self. Choice is yours. And what majority of us do? Convert our energy and collect material stuff, which are also passing and fleeting. Right? So he says, what are you ready to give for it? Bhakti, that's what it means. Are you ready to give yourself? Then that is bhakti. In short, what he is saying is, do not give this unless and until it is asked for. This should be the first in the what? List of desires. If not the only desire. But this is not the first in our list of desires. We have so many things. Agar time hai, to ye bhi chalega. He says no. Bhakti means the highest priority. Remember the example of chapter. Jitna aap you give, that much you receive. Swami Ramtirtha beautifully explains this with the phenomenon of colors. An object is known by the color it reflects. The seven vibhyaric color that imprints on the object, whatever color that object has reflected, it's known by that color. So when your cloth is yellow in color, it means what? It is reflected yellow. All other colors it's absorbed. And the fact that it reflected yellow, it's known by? It's known by? Yellow. If you reflect red, you will be known by the red. If you reflect everything, what color will that be?
White.
White. So that is the symbolism of wearing white clothes. To tell yourself that you should reflect, give. Life is to give, not to take. And if you absorb everything?
Black.
Isn't it? So, therefore Swami Ramtirtha says, you are rich by what you give, not what you take. You are only rich with reference to what all you are present about. What all you are not able to give means what? You are poor in that area. Are you getting it? It's a very deep message what Ramtirtha is saying. Swami Ramtirtha says, you are rich by what you give. Obviously you are poor, that's why you are not giving it. Huh?
That's why you are clinging to it.
But you have written about it. No problem. So all, if you really understand philosophically, you are rich by what all you have risen above. Your richness needs to be measured in terms of what all you can live without. Not on what all you cling on to, what all you have. So the real has are the ones who can live without. The real have not are those who cannot live with others. That's the point. So therefore he says that bhakti means asking. Knowledge is never given. It is taken. So you have to go. Right? Otherwise it doesn't work. So he is talking about attitude. Do not give this knowledge to a person who does not ask. Do not give this knowledge to a person who does not ask appropriately. So therefore he says service. One who does not render service. Meaning one who does not purify himself. One who is not dissolved his ego relatively, don't give this knowledge. And then one who cavils, criticizes, complaining, cavilling. One who cavils of me, one who speaks ill of me, going on speaking ill. Will not work in this 21st century, useless. You know, you've got to get on, do this, that, cavilling. Why you want to give them this? Acha chalo, can you give this knowledge in 2 lines? I'm busy, I have no time. When you have time, you come. No problem. You will tell that to the doctor now, but when you are diagnosed with some problem, then you will not say, you will wait for that fellow. I will wait for that guy. Today you have all the time in the world. So speaking ill of me means what? Me means what? Me means? Ishvara.
Brahman.
Listen, there is Ishvara, there is ego. Right? A bhaktiman is one who understands Ishvara, submits himself to Ishvara. Meaning what? Tera tujhko arpan kya lage mera? The bigger circle and smaller circle. The smaller circle has to sublimate itself to the bigger circle. Then that person is not speaking ill. Speaking ill doesn't mean sitting and criticizing. Speaking ill means in your life, if you are egoistically functioning, right? In the beginning he said no. Yajna, one who sacrifices and then eats. Sacrificing to the devas. Devas means who are the devas? Devas are the agents of Ishvara. So there is nothing that is sacrificed to Ishvara. They are only sacrificing to themselves. Those who are acting selfishly are the ones who speak ill of me. Are you getting it? Speaking ill doesn't mean sitting and complaining about Krishna. Jesus Christ. See, how do you determine whether you are a believer or non-believer of God? Swami Vivekananda says, he is not, he puts it like this, an atheist is one who believes in himself, not the one who believes in God. You understand? Believes in the self, the Atma. One who believes in the self. If you believe in Atma, when you are there, Atma is there. Wherever you go, Atma is there. One who believes in God only in Mandir. Mandir se bahar aane ke baad, mera. Are you getting it? So you are then a person who speaks ill of Bhagavan. So how do you praise Bhagavan is not by words, by your deeds. Your deeds will show whether you are an atheist or non-atheist. You may believe in God, Krishna, this, that, you may talk everything. But when it comes to your living, you are only doing for yourself. Or even if you give, you are thinking, you are giving. What you are giving? The totality is giving through you. Be happy that totality chose you. This is what Krishna is telling Arjuna in the 11th chapter, you remember? He in the 11th chapter shows the Vishwarupa Darshan to Arjuna. There what did Arjuna see? He saw all the Pandavas and Kauravas, everybody inside, and Kauravas, some of them dead. He is telling, already they are dead, I have killed them. You just be my instrument and kill them. You remember those verses? So you are only the instrument, through you is giving. Why are you suddenly having an ego that you are giving? So in every action, you should praise Bhagavan. Your action should be of praising Bhagavan. Praising Bhagavan means what? I is not there. Only he is there, or she is there, or it is there. The more the I, the less the Bhagavan. So if you do not have these qualifications, you are not qualified to receive the knowledge. And when you give the knowledge, make sure you are giving this knowledge to the adhikari, not to a non-adhikari. So these are not just words, that information that we get and then something changes in our life. When the Gita enters each and every cell of my personality, then my life changes, not others. And first thing that will happen once you are a Gita student is, you will stop talking ill about anybody. And you will stop complaining about anybody. Because a Gita student understands what? That I have to change myself. I am suffering not because the world is like this. I am suffering because I am attached. So when I change myself, world being the same, you will not be affected. In other words, when you finish this class and get out, it is not that everybody is going to say they are coming from Gita class, let them go first. Right? You may be waiting there with all your distinct signal, you will be going, then you are going like the same thing will continue. But only thing that will happen is, now you are not affected, agitated. So world will continue to be the same. That is why Jesus Christ said, iniquity there shall be. Woe unto you if you be the cause of it. That person is like this, this person is like that. And you genuinely believe when the person is gone, your life will be fine. To convey this point, Swamiji, you know, brings a very light-hearted, you can call it story, because he says it actually happened. I'm sure it would have not happened actually. You know, but to convey this message, what he says is, one of his devotees who organizes a lecture in one of the centers, he stays in their house and he goes for his lectures. He had a daughter in the marrying age and he was very worried that she is not getting married. So he said, Swamiji, bless my daughter, you know, bless our family to get her married. And I asked, blessing, wishing, forget about it. My blessing is always there, but blessing and all don't work. Just start working on it, you know. So start working on it. If she is interested in marrying, then start working on it. She'll get married, I'm sure. So he said, no, Swamiji, you don't believe in blessings, that's fine, but I'm sure your blessings have a lot of power. So he took Swamiji's hand and put on himself and his daughter and said, they are blessed now, you go. So when he left, after the lectures, after a few months, he called and said, Swamiji, marriage fixed, your blessings has come true. You know? And he said, she's getting married to that family, between you and me, they're 10 times richer than me, very happy, excited, very good boy and all that. And then he says, marriage is fixed, can you come? I need to invite you. He said, I can't come, but it's okay, my blessings are there, let it continue. And then, when he went for his lectures next year, the daughter is in the house. So he thought she's come just like that. But then she's come away. He said, what is wrong? And Swamiji, yeah, you said that boy is a very good boy. Swamiji, the boy is a gem of a boy, Swamiji. Even better boy than me. Can't get anybody like that. But that mother-in-law problem, Swamiji. You know? Very good. Sit there, she's saying, this is not what your father gave. If she opens the fridge, this is not what your father gave. This constant problem, Swamiji, so she came away. Then he said, I will talk to that family because I know them also. I can talk to them. No. You will not talk because they will insult you. And if they insult you, I can't take it. No, you can't talk. You will not talk. Then, how will you settle this matter? Simple, Swamiji. Just your blessing. blessing, jod do yaar. Don't be like this, emotional. No, Swamiji, blessing. He took his hand and put on himself and his daughter said, okay, now okay. You don't need to talk. Then he's saying, what do you mean by blessing? Yeah, Swamiji, that mother-in-law is having high blood pressure, high blood sugar, which is already 85. Theek hai? That's all, I just need your blessing. He said, listen, I don't have any blessings like that. Forget about that. And then he left. And then he said, after a few months he called him and said, Swamiji, your blessing has come. So in the sense, people genuinely think, you know, like this. There is no such thing like that. But to convey that, he puts it in this kind of a story for us. But what you need to really understand is that your efforts only will fetch you the results, and your efforts mixed with right attitude. So, action which is dedicated for a higher altitude, A, and with the right attitude, performed with right attitude, another A. Three A's are important. Action, first A, dedicated for a higher altitude, A, goal, and has to be performed with the right attitude. Body, intellect, mind. Three A's. So he says, if you have any of these, do not give. Or to the extent you don't have this, give. You are ready to receive. If you find somebody who doesn't have, I mean, if you have to find a student who is absolutely zero of all this, that means he is almost Sri Krishna only. So to the extent you don't have this, or you have these qualities, which you should have, the qualities you should not have, to the extent you qualify, you receive. That's the idea. To the extent you imbibe these qualities, to that extent you receive. So that is why I keep saying, it's not just studying. It's studying and developing these qualities. When both go hand in hand, then you receive, not otherwise. Otherwise impossible. Otherwise what you will get is only information. Hiranyakashipu got the knowledge, but it was full of misunderstandings. He understood himself to be Brahman, na? So when you are studying, you are God. Your God does not mean Rita is God. The self in Rita, her original nature is God. But if you misunderstand and think that Rita is God, and you are telling everybody, I am God, everybody should behave, otherwise I will finish you off. This is what Hiranyakashipu did. So, if this knowledge is not given to a person who is not qualified, this is what will happen. This is the problem. Are you getting it? See, even in the world, they see that, no? They are more worried as to who is the who is the person in control of the country which has nuclear weapons? Because every now and then, supposing he is agitated, shall I press the button? Should I press it? If he is agitated, we will be scared, right? When this fellow will press it? So you need to make sure the person who is there at the helm is someone who is sensible and responsible. And therefore, they say, Baba, if you guys have these nuclear weapons and all that, you please come under this group. And they say, no, we will not come. Then they do sanctions, this, that, all possible things. Why? Because the matter that you are dealing with is a very
sensitive
thing. Einstein, after he came up with that E is equal to MC square theory of relativity, he was the most worried person. Because that is the base of all this atomic bomb and nuclear and everything. So he said, now these people are going to use this only to destroy themselves. This is the problem. See, till we get some power, you are humble. Little bit power you let, just become counselor and see. Forget counselor. What do you call this? Club president. Yes. The kind of... Pardon?
No.
Club president. And you become club president. You know, just small club and few members are there. The kind of power and the way the whole thing is done. You can see how little power comes, how you become egoistic. So, your real character comes out when you have power. Otherwise you are like cold stricken snake. You understand cold stricken snake? In very cold places, where it is in minus degrees, the snake is completely cold stricken. As a result, it is just coiling itself and staying there. It can't do anything. People can play with it. But as the sun comes out, the snake will take its food. And therefore he says, service should be there. Devotion should be there. And effort should be there. At all levels you should be preparing to receive the knowledge. Next verse.
Yaidam paramam guhyam mat bhakteshva vidhasyati bhaktim mai param kritva mame vaishyatya samshayah yaidam paramam guhyam मत भक्तेश्व विधास्यति भक्तिं मयि परां कृत्वा मामे वैश्यत्य संशयः.
He who shall teach the supreme secret to my devotees, having shown the greatest devotion to me alone, shall doubtless come to me. So a person who is teaching the Gita, first and foremost you must understand, you can only teach to the extent you have imbibed. Only to the extent you have unfolded the self can you reveal the self. You understand? So therefore teaching means one who has revealed. And he who shall teach this supreme secret to my devotees. My devotees mean those who follow on under that category that he mentioned in the previous verse. Having shown the greatest devotion to me. So what is that? Greatest devotion to Bhagavan is what? Living that knowledge. The best way to communicate is to live it. This is what Swami Ramakrishna says. Swami Ramakrishna says the best form of theory is to live it. There's no point just talking. The best form of theory is to live it. So he who shall teach this supreme secret, my devotees, having shown the greatest devotion to me, to me alone shall doubtless come to me. Greatest devotion to me alone means that devotion is not to the body, mind, intellect, but to the Atma. That's what it means. Are you getting it? Every human being is a combination of body, mind, intellect and Atma. And your original nature is Atma. So greatest devotion to me means what? You are teaching this knowledge means you are communicating through your living that the fulfillment of life is by reaching the self. Therefore you are giving this message to people who ask that you want that fulfillment, you will get it only by reaching the self. So therefore what are you doing? You are helping them take away their attention from the mind, body and intellect and sending the attention towards the Atma. Therefore it is the greatest devotion. See, devotion means attention. If you have devotion, you will pay attention. Isn't it? See, if you have love, you will start paying attention. Supposing your son or daughter or someone who is very dear to you is fallen sick. Right? You go to the doctor, you pay attention to each and every detail the doctor says. Why? How come that attention is coming suddenly? Because of the great love. So when there is bhakti, attention comes. Correct? So when he says, you are the greatest devotee, why? Because your attention is upon the Atma and you are also helping others to attune to the Atma. Nothing else. Keep on helping them to shift the attention towards the Atma. See, every now and then we send our attention to the body management. You have to keep on helping the person to shift the attention from the body, mind, intellect to the Ishvara in us. But again we'll slip, again shift, again slip, again shift. So the fact that you are doing this work is the greatest business. You are the greatest devotee. Why? Because you are paying attention to the Atma, to me alone. See, when you read this alone word, you think the highly egoistic person is Sri Krishna. Everything is just me alone, me alone, me alone, me alone. Who is this guy, man? What is the word they use? Narcissist.
Narcissist.
Everything me, me, me. Me means the
Atma.
So otherwise you will say Krishna is the greatest, highest narcissist. Me alone means Atma alone. Your devotion should be only to that which is permanent, not to all these temporary things. If you are devoted to that, then you will definitely be what? Agitated. We'll continue next.
Purnamadha, Purnamidham, Purna, Purnamudachyate, Purnasya, Purnamadhyaya, Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Kaina Vacha, Kaina Vacha, Manasendriyeva, Manasendriyeva, Buddhyatmanava, Buddhyatmanava, Prakteswabhava, Karomi Adhyat, Sakalam Parasmahi, Narayana Eti Samarpayami.